Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Somers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
Okay, time to eat. And I'll try to explain. And we are joined now by the cook. By the man who is going to be serving some fish sticks for the next so many minutes. And let's welcome to the program a young man who has written a book, We Want Fish Sticks. And it's available now. It's certainly out there on the market at Barnes & Noble. It's right around $30. And Nick Hershon is joining us now as the cook, who is the author. And by the way, you should also know that We Want Fish Sticks is all about his favorite hockey team. And that is the New York, how should I say it, Nick, Islanders.
Steve Somers, we've got to say Islanders, not Islanders, right?
But I will, out of respect for you and your book, especially page 4 and page 70, the favorite two pages in your book that I enjoy. Actually, it's a very good book from all that have read it, mostly Islander fans. I'll pay you respect. Islander fans have enjoyed the book, and hockey fans have enjoyed the book. And it's nice to have you on the program, that's for sure. And why did you come up with that name? Because the uniforms that they wore, reminding all of us of the fish sticks, if you will. Why did you come up with that title for your book?
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me on The Fan, Steve.
For sure.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening to you for many years, so thank you so much for this. So the title of the book, We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders. It refers to the Islanders' fisherman logo that they wore from 1995 to 1997. And it had a very striking resemblance to the Gorton's fishermen. And Rangers fans, like yourself, Steve, love to taunt Islanders fans with chants of, we want fish sticks. You still hear it when you go to Madison Square Garden and even Nassau Coliseum and the Barclays Center here and there. So that was the inspiration for the book and for, the title.
And certainly, I mean, and look at what your team is. I know they're playing now, and I think last I saw they were tied with Ottawa 2-2. Now in second place, you have to be very pleasantly surprised not only with the kind of season your team is having, but look at who you have as a head coach and look at who you have in the front office. You have to be feeling good about your team even after losing your best player. And we know what happened a couple of nights ago when he came back into town. But for the most part, you're a better team without John Tavares.
And whoever thought we'd be saying that in July, right? They lose their star player, John Tavares. Burns us to go to Toronto, but we have Lou Lamoriello as the GM, Barry Trotz as the coach from the Stanley Cup champions, and this team is just performing on a different level. The amount of chemistry that they have, it's awe-inspiring. I never thought as a long-suffering Islanders fan, dating back to 1999, the last place team, and then researching the 1995 Islanders when they were terrible as well, that we'd be now talking about a team that, they're going to make the playoffs, and who knows, they might even go deep into the playoffs this year. So it's kind of incredible for Islanders fans. I'm so glad that we're all getting to experience it because we've had a lot of really bad years there.
And you probably wish that they were playing their games when you, as a young man, saw them play at the Coliseum. And so here they are at the Barclays Center, and you know as well as anyone, and better than most, that they're not. Most Islander fans are not all that happy about having to play there.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the Barclays Center. I wrote a book about Nassau Coliseum before it closed. I had so many great memories growing up there. even when the team wasn't doing so great, it was kind of what they said about Shea Stadium. Sure. It was our dump. It was our place to go and have all of these memories. And, you know, it's great to see them playing more games back there this season. Electric atmosphere every time, sold out. And they're at least going to play the first round of the playoffs at Nassau Coliseum. If they make it deeper, it'll go over to Barclays Center.
Right.
But it looks like they'll be playing at Nassau Coliseum a few more times over the next few years before they go to the new arena at Belmont. And it's just great to see them. That's where they belong. You know, the Coliseum was built for them. They're Long Island's only professional sports team. The fans out there deserve this.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. And the most unsung rivalry, we could talk about the Yankees in Boston and any of the teams that the Mets take on in their division, and whether it's Philadelphia, whether it's Washington, whether it's any kind of rivalry that you could think of, I've always thought the most unsung, but not among the fans per se, but certainly as far as attention given, not only on this radio station, but that was my thinking in the beginning when we were talking about the Rangers and the Islanders as a great, great rivalry with these two hockey teams. Have you ever, as an Islander fan, growing up as an Islander fan with so many memories, as you allude to with the Coliseum, have you learned to accept Nick Hershon, author of We Want Fish Sticks? Have you learned to accept and tolerate living among Ranger fans?
Ooh. Well, I certainly went to high school with a lot of Rangers fans in college, and I, you know, it's when you're growing up in Queens, as I did, you're right in the middle of that. You have some of the people in Eastern Queens who go to the Islanders, but a lot of people were with the Rangers. And of course, I have respect for anybody who has passion for their team. Through writing this book and interacting with a lot of the fans on social media and in the stands, you know, I get fans of all stripes, not just Islanders fans. And of course, you know, it just depends on how you were raised. So I can't, you know, I absolve them of their sin of being a Rangers fan. And hopefully they'll see the error of their ways someday and they will come to the blue and orange side.
And you do allude to me in there for making fun with the fish sticks and with the nicknames that we had. And I got that made me smile, not only because you my name was spelled right in your book, but also because of the sense of humor. And I think you were taking it, and maybe not when you were first hearing it as a much younger man, but certainly you were taking it with a sense of humor, and I think that's the way to go.
Oh, of course. I mean, and when you hear all of the titles that you came up with, the players at the time, the nicknames, Al Harbor instead of Al Arbor, Clark Gills instead of Gillies, Brian Trottier instead of Trottier, Pierre Sturgeon instead of Turgeon. I mean, all of them are so hilarious. And I know you were doing it in good fun. I think most Islanders fans would know that as well. And so I grew up listening to you on the fan, a lot of times leaving Shea Stadium parking lot after the game, City Field, you know, seeing what you had to say about the Mets. But I would hear you talk about Nassau Mausoleum and the Islanders, and that was my team, but I never took exception to it. I know that you're doing it in good fun, and honestly, you're one of the few guys in New York sports media who talks about the Islanders of any regularity, hockey of any regularity. So I think a lot of the fans just appreciate that part of it.
And you go back to the very beginning, and certainly you have done a lot of, well, the research comes from your heart. I know there are so many ways to research a book, that's for sure. But I know that what I've seen from your book, what I've read from your book, is that you have written this really from the bottom of your heart. And I think that's what sells this book, not only for fans of your team, but also for hockey fans in general.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, obviously, I'm an Islanders fan myself. I grew up rooting for this team. So when I was doing this research, toiling away on this as my PhD dissertation in Ohio University, 450 miles away from Long Island, I was thinking about the passion I felt as a fan and how I wanted to write for those people who were sitting in the stands around me. So that's what carried me through reading headline after headline about Mike Milbury, God forbid, as the coach and general manager of the Islanders, and all the terrible trades they were making at the time. Kirk Muller they bring to Long Island, and then he refuses to report. He wants to stay in Montreal with the Canadiens. Trading away any good player associated with that team, Ziggy Palfy, Todd Bertuzzi, Travis Green, anybody who we could actually have some respect with this franchise, ended up leaving. But what got me through it is, you know, this is my team. This is a story that I thought was really colorful and needed to be told. And I really appreciate the fans have just been incredible. This just says a lot about Islanders fans. You know, so many people who I've never met before coming up to me in the stands at Nassau Coliseum, sending me nice messages of encouragement. I really just appreciate the way they've embraced me.
And probably one of your regrets is the politicians out there, where things might have been able to be a little bit different with the team and where they're playing. I mean, obviously, you know, I think most fans certainly never wanted to see the team leave, that's for sure, and never wanted to see the team move from where your memories are and where just about everybody else's memories are. And maybe if things had turned out a little bit different politically, I know you have touched on this. I know you have felt it. I know you have lived through it. Bottom line is, maybe if things had turned out a little bit different with the voting and with the politicians together as one, maybe things might have been different, and the Islanders might have been at the Nassau Coliseum still.
Yes, it's very sad to think about that. I was a reporter for the New York Daily News in 2011 when that vote went down, where it looked like there was a referendum, the Islanders were going to be able to stay at Nassau Coliseum, they'd get a new arena or some sort of at least revamped arena. And when that was voted down, it was really dramatic and unexpected for me as a fan. I just didn't think that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, to see them back has been rewarding, but I know it's temporary. But that was part of the reason why I fell in love with this team. They played in a suburban area, not a big city. They were always going up against the big bad Rangers or Bruins or whoever else. Mm-hmm. Manage almost every other locality to be higher population and get a lot more media attention. So it was kind of nice to see the scrappy Islanders and, you know, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux skating out of this arena, really, this little arena and Hempstead Turnpike. And that's what made it so special, I felt, to be an Islanders fan. So when they went to Barclays Center, it just didn't feel right. Now they're playing in New York City, sharing the city with the Rangers. I don't know. That doesn't seem right to me. Not to mention the fact that the scoreboard is off kilter and you have obstructed view seats and all these other kinds of problems in an arena built for basketball, not hockey. But, you know, seeing them at the Coliseum during this last stretch when they're having so much success, I'm just so glad the fans can experience that now. And hopefully, you know, it ends in a long playoff run this year.
What do you need to improve? A little bit more scoring, do you think?
Yeah, they definitely need some scoring punch. I mean, right now, a little bit dicey the last few days. We've been hearing about injuries. Robin Lehner, you know, left the game, and that was kind of scary. They had to do a call-up of a goalie there. But really, I think scoring is going to be the issue. They stood pat at the deadline, much to my surprise. I thought they were going to go out there and get maybe Stone from Ottawa or Hayes and the Rangers or somebody, but they didn't, and they kept the chemistry that they have. So you're going to have to hope for more production from Casey Cizikas, as he's been doing, and just this goalie tandem of Robin Lehner, Thomas Greiss have been outstanding. No one would have expected they'd be leading the NHL in goals against and save percentage at this point in the season. But yeah, eventually they're going to have to score more, so we'll see whether that comes from Cizikas or Lee or whoever. With Barry Trotz at the helm, I just have a lot more confidence than certainly the fans in the Fisherman era did in the mid-90s with guys like Mike Milbury and Don Maloney in charge.
And were you there the other night when Tavares in Toronto was in town?
Unfortunately, I was teaching. I'm a professor at William Patterson University in New Jersey. I was teaching my journalism class that night, so I couldn't go, but I was at some of the other games before and after, unfortunately, losses. But I was so happy. At the end of my class, a student came up to me and said, "Professor Hershon, your Islanders are beating Toronto right now, 4-1. And it was the best end to a class I could have possibly had, Steve. You know, it was seeing all the videos later and all these fans tweeting out their reactions to John Tavares. I'm glad they kept it pretty much respectful. There was nothing untoward or crazy that happened. And, you know, they're certainly allowed to have their full-throated boos and all of their chants, which I thought were very creative and funny. You know, pajama boy, it's past your bedtime.
Sure.
All of that sort of stuff was great.
And it was perfect, I mean, with the 6-1 win. And you mentioned you're a journalism professor. Do you have anybody that you have been teaching and working with at William Patterson in New Jersey that wants to be a hockey sports writer who might be an Islander fan?
We do, actually. I am actually the advisor for the William Patterson Society Professional Journalist Chapter. Okay. Our vice president, John Fiorino, who's probably listening to us right now, is a huge Islanders fan, and he wants to be a hockey reporter someday. We have many others in our ranks. Alex Evans, Ryan Doyle, I'll be star professor for mentioning some of our star students here, who I know are interested in covering sports and specifically the Islanders. So, yes, I talk to them all the time about this sort of stuff.
Okay. And listen, the best to you. And again, your book, We Want Fish Sticks. And I guess wherever you can get a book, online or in person, Barnes & Noble, I know, and certainly anywhere you can get a book. And this is Nick Harshon with the We Want Fish Sticks. And Nick, I can't thank you enough, and much good luck to you, and much good luck to your team, but not that much.
Not too much luck. Thank you so much, Steve. I really have a thrill just talking to you, and I appreciate so much you put me into BFM. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you very much, and I do wish you the good luck, that's for sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.